That's ridiculous. 13 yeah. stopping a 26-year-old.
Like, it's very controversial, you know what I'm saying? Like, amateur boxing is anyway. But I got robbed in a national final. I was trying to make a legacy for my kids and for my family, like, in generations to come.
Welcome back to the Next Level Podcast. On today's episode, I've got a very exciting guest for you, Ernie Rutherford, the most exciting prospect in the boxing industry. So Ernie's background is one of the most inspiring stories that you're going to hear today. Ernie's had 4 fights, 4 wins, 2 knockouts. He's ranked 33 in the UK. And listen, when you hear his story, I know it's going to resonate with you. So Ernie, welcome to the show. So Ernie, what was it like growing up for you as a child? What's your earliest memory?
Honestly, man, I had a rough childhood, really, you know. I was born in Sidcup, lived there from, my toddler years. Mum and dad split up, and then we sort of went into, like, refuges, like, in and out of fucking temporary housing, you know, in and out of all different areas. Never really stayed at one school as a child. Like, I was in about 4 or 5 different primary schools until we ended up, like, settling in Chiselhurst.
Well, how did that make you feel, obviously, bouncing from one place to another?
Yeah, man, like, I never really had any friends as a kid. During school and stuff, like, I was always, like, a bit of an outsider, you know what I mean? Like, I was always a new kid.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, I was a new kid, like, turning up sort of thing. And then I weren't there very long. I've gone again, so.
Did you find it hard to trust people? The reason I ask that is because I can relate to what you're saying there. I'll bounce from one place to the next. I think I moved 16 times in just shy of 10 years.
Mm.
So I found it very hard to trust people.
Yeah, you definitely got a guard up, I think, like, when it comes to meeting people. Do you know what I mean? You don't know who you can trust. So, yeah, I mean, I find it very hard to make friends as a kid. But I'm very within myself, reserved, I'd say.
Yeah. So what about, obviously, moving on to... tell me about when you was 18. Obviously, I know a little bit about your story. Obviously, school you found very hard.
Yeah, secondary school was a bit of a mad one for me. Do you know what I mean? I left school at 13. No GCSEs, I wasn't a troublemaker at school, but, like, I didn't. Didn't really pay too much attention to my lessons, you know what I'm saying? I always wanted to box. I wasn't really interested in school. Like, I sort of decided this is what I'm going to do with my life.
Mm.
I'm not interested in a bit of paper that tells me I can read and write, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's bad, really, but...
Why do you think it's bad?
Because I think, like, you need a proper education nowadays. I mean, like, if everything went tits up for me, like, and I need to go and get a job... I've got no qualifications to say that I can do this, or, do you know what I mean, never stuck it out. Like, I left school at 13, you know what I mean, went to work and just focusing on my training, like.
Yeah, I think the other way to look at it as well is I didn't get any GCSEs. Again, people can take what they want from this opinion, but I left school, no GCSEs, expelled from school, started my own business. Technically, I went to McDonald's, got a job, lasted 2 minutes. Got a sack. Employment doesn't necessarily suit certain people, myself included in that bracket.
Yeah,
but when I started my job, my business, sorry, I could sort of see where I wanted to be, work for myself, and then employ other people. So if you know where you're going, then it doesn't matter how many times you fail or learn, as I like to say, you can just keep going and then reach where you want to get to. So for anyone listening that didn't get that GCSE or whatever it is, diploma or university degree, whatever they're looking to get, as society says you should get, I wouldn't say it's the be-all and end-all, because there's plenty of people that I know that have sat in a podcast, which is exactly where you're sitting now, that completely fucked up at school as well.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself with that.
Yeah, like, I would never want to work for somebody else, do you know what I mean? Like, and that's, like, when I left school, I just decided, like, I want to do my boxing. Like, it was just childhood dream for me anyway.
Where did that dream come from?
My old man, like, he was a professional boxing trainer.
Okay.
And, like, I remember being, like, 4 year old, I was sitting on the side of the ring watching trainer pros. He had a gym at Canary Wharf in London.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked under Matchroom. He worked for Frank Maloney's Fight Factory, running the gym there. So he'd been involved in it for a long time. I mean, he trained a lot of professionals and stuff. And like, I just remember being like young and watching him. I used to watch all the Rocky films.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I used to sit there doing my press-ups, like my boxer shorts when I was about yeah. 5, 6, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like it's always appealed to me, boxing. I mean, I've always had a love for it anyway. But I never really started training properly till I was about 11. Like, I'd come and go from the gym. I mean, my old man used to bring me to watch. I'd hit the bag, mess around. Like, it weren't proper training, do you know what I mean? But I
was
just...
Was it hard because, obviously, your parents had split?
Yeah.
Tell me about your relationship with your parents at that time.
Yeah, so, like, obviously, my mum left. I was only, man, I was only young, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I didn't really see my dad. My dad was absent a lot from my childhood, like, from my young childhood. I didn't really see him much. It's fucking heartbreaking, man, to be honest. I mean, like, I'm a daddy's boy, I always have been. I'm standing in front of my little boy, so yeah, that was hard growing up. Like, he was in and out of our lives a lot. And then I moved to I went to secondary school. My relationship with my dad, like, it sort of was a lot stronger, you know what I mean? I'd see him a lot more. Obviously, I used to go training with him 3-4 times a week. So after school, I'd go to the gym. He'd pick me up from school, we'd go to the gym, he'd drop me home like 3-4 hours later. I mean, we had a good session.
Yeah.
Like, my relationship with my dad got a lot stronger. I mean, he came back to live with us again. Like, things was going good. Mum and dad was back together. Like, everything was sweet. And then they split again and he left, but I left with him. You know what I mean? I left with my dad and I was about 13 then. When I lived with my dad, yeah. You know, that was hard. I left my brothers and sisters behind. Like, they all thought I, like, abandoned them, you know, but I was sick of, like, growing up and not having my dad in my life. So.
What happened next?
Yeah, man. I went and moved in with my nan. We was living with my nans in Sidcup. Still going to trying to get go to school, obviously, from there. But my main priority was my boxing, because that's what I knew I wanted to do with my life. So I was going to school, like, in the morning times for a couple of hours, bunking out my lesson, jumping the fence, jumping into my dad's car, driving to Essex. We used to go and train with Jason Rowland. He was an ex-world champion. He boxed Ricky Ann. So he had a gym in Essex. Right by the, it's like a fencing yard in Essex. I can't remember exactly what it's called now. I think it might be Orchard, I'm not sure. But yeah, the gym there anyway. And so I used to bunk school, right? Jump in the car, go to boxing. I mean, train there with the pros. I was sparring champions, professional champions when I was like 13-year-old, like George Hill Yard. I was in there with Nicky Cook. Few good fighters. Tony Conquest, he used to train there. So, like, yeah, it was a good atmosphere in the gym. But, you know, I was only a kid, but I think they respected me for sort of jumping in an old and young sometime. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I used to spar him on that as well, so. But I learned a lot with them boys over there.
So, yeah, I mean, that's quite a lot to dissect for people that are listening. At the age of 13, you've gone through quite a lot, and no doubt there's more. Yeah. To touch on, but jumping in the ring at 13 years of age, what was the biggest lesson at that age that you learned?
Like, I mean, so, like, I boxed as an amateur anyway. I had my first fight when I was like, how old was I? About 12. A plastic red in Sidcup. So, yeah, I had my first fight there. Stopped the kid in a couple of rounds. I mean, he was buzzing. Had another one, boxed again at Bexley Heath Marriott Hotel. Give the kid a couple of 8 counts, went the distance, but I won. And then I was like out of season. So I was going over and training with the pros in Essex, but the amateur season sort of finished, you know what I mean? And there was a few unlicensed shows that was sort of coming up, and I thought, well, like, rather than sit about and wait, like, I'd jump on them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I went under like a different name. I went on them under a different name, jumped on them. I boxed. So the first time I boxed, I think I was either 12 or 13. I boxed a 19-year-old and I knocked him out. So I was buzzing for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He was like, I remember looking at me in the weighing and thinking, like, he's just a kid. Like, my dad was outside, like, after the weigh-in, he was going to his mate, like, he's a child, mate. I'm going to smash him up, like. You know what I mean? And I was thinking, yeah, I'll wait till we get in there, sort of thing. But yeah, I got in there, busted him. And then I boxed, I think it's about 3 months later, I boxed again. Boxed for, like, the IFA British title. Yeah, against, I think he was about 26, I think he was.
How old were you?
I was 13. Yeah, I stopped him as well.
Mm.
So that's obviously, that's all on the video. I got all the videos of that. I think it's on YouTube. My dad put it up. But I was only young, I'm a kid.
What was the, is it on YouTube? Do you know if it is?
I think, yeah, it's definitely on YouTube, yeah, on Southside Boxing.
Right, so obviously I will try and get that and we'll put it in the link in the description below, because that's ridiculous. 13, yeah. Stopping a 26-year-old. And yeah, mate, that's some feat, being a 26-year-old at 13.
Like, I just think, I don't know, like, I had a hard upbringing, do you know what I'm saying? And like, my dad always told me, just don't give a fuck for anybody, like, whoever they are, like, just be you. Like,
do you feel that there was an added pressure?
In what way?
To prove yourself. Because of your dad's background, maybe. Or to live up to the expectation of...
Yeah, man, I suppose there was a bit, you know what I mean? Like, my dad's got a bit of a reputation, do you know what I mean? And sort of going through school, I think that reputation sort of stuck with me a little bit.
Mm.
I was never a bully at school, do you know what I mean? Like, I hated bullies, I despised them.
Mm.
I always used to get in trouble for fighting for other people at school, because I wouldn't let people get picked on and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? I got arrested a few times, suspended, like, just...
So you was arrested for helping other people?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, like... Trouble don't... Like, I don't look for trouble ever, but it just seems to find me in some way.
Mm.
And, like I say, if some of the kids were getting picked on at school, or there's... Like, I've got a problem with, like, the big I am. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you'll always see them kids, like, you're like, they're the boy sort of thing. I mean, they're pushing their weight around and on other people, and I just feel like, bro, like, what's that all about? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all just people here, like, and you're fucking sticking on people for no reason. You know what I mean? And I end up getting in trouble for fighting, sticking up for other people and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I can certainly resonate with that. And the reason I asked that question to not just yourself, but a lot of other guests, is that I felt that pressure because of my dad, and it was only recently, but he earned quite a bit of money, like I say, selling drugs. I tried it, I made a shitload of money doing it, but I was like, this is not the life for me, because it was like quick cash. I'm like, this is great, what the fuck am I going to do with it now? So I mean, it's just not, it's not the life.
There's only so much you can bury, isn't there?
There is.
I mean,
what do you mean by that?
Like, fast money, like, there's only so much you can do with it. Do you know what I mean? Once you buy yourself a new watch or a new car, like, you can't go and put the money down in a house, or, do you know what I mean? It's just dead money, like, it's just sitting there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? So obviously being a boxer's tough,
Yeah.
In more ways than one, more ways than that most people can resonate with. So how are you living? What's the day to day life of being a boxer?
It's demanding, man. You know, like the time I get in the car, I drive down, do my morning run, get to the gym. Like, I'm training 2 or 3 times a day, but I don't really see my kids much, which is bad, really. Do you know what I mean? But, like, I'm trying to work to all sink here. So, yeah, I don't really see them much. And then, obviously, driving to and from the gym, I mean, time you do travelling back and forth. Like, I'm getting home at, like, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, I get home, just quickly smack some food into me, and then it's time to go to bed. and do the same thing again the next day.
You got emotional there when you mentioned your kids.
Yeah.
Why did you get so emotional?
Because they're everything to me. Like, I just want to give them a good life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I come from a broken home myself. I don't want them to come from a broken home. And I want them to have the things in life that I never had as a kid. Do you know what I mean? Because it was hard for me growing up. So I don't want them to ever have to struggle like that and go through that stuff.
I think that's, yeah, full respect for that, mate. And again, there'll be people listening that are trying, they feel like giving up. What keeps you on the right path?
Like, my family keep me grounded. Do you know what I mean? My wife, she wants what's best for me. Do you know what I mean? She's always trying to help out any way she can, whether it's trying to sort my meals out for me as quick as I can while I'm out jogging so I can come back, eat and go, or, do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I make sure I've always got clean clothes, or my kids are always looked after. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So she takes a lot of pressure off me.
Mm.
And then, yeah, like, my family, man, they all want me to succeed.
And what about the other sacrifices that you've made? You mentioned the kids there. People can obviously listen to the podcast and they know the sacrifices I've made. Again, I've been through divorce. And it's one of the hardest things to not bring your kids up. I know one of your best friends, John, been through the same thing with his kids, not having his kids all of the time. One of the hardest things you'll ever go through as a dad or a mum if you're not with your kids. But again, in similar ways, you're not with them all the time, but you're thinking of the long-term goal of providing the best for them, and that's all that we want to do as parents.
Mm.
But what other sacrifices have you made in the boxing world? Or in life? Is money one?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was cracking on my boxing, yeah? And I boxed in a national final. I think I was about 18. Anyway, ended up losing. I didn't lose. It's very controversial, you know what I'm saying? Like, amateur boxing is anyway. But I got robbed in a national final. And I come away and I just thought, I'm going to have a bit of a break for a while, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's fucking done made in a bit. So, anyway, I went on. Obviously, I'm 18. Just started driving. Cruising about. Ended up meeting my wife, you know? Obviously, things took off with me and her. Ended up getting married. Boxing was just on the back burner.
Got married at 18?
No, I got married at 20.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, but I met her.
Married young.
Yeah, I was married young, yeah. But we do marry young. So,
yeah. So, for everyone that's listening, from a traveller background?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll touch on it in a minute, but yeah, you marry young.
So, yeah, I ended up getting married. Moved abroad. I got married and we come straight back, and I moved abroad and was working abroad for a while, travelling around Europe and stuff.
Tell me about that part.
So, obviously, I was working in France. I travelled most of Europe, like Italy, Belgium, Holland, Switzerland, Germany. We're just travelling around, basically, just trying to get a few quid, mate. Do you know what I mean? I was only newly married, the money was out there, so I thought, well, go out and give it a crack, sort of thing. It was hard out there, man. It was, I wasn't used to that. It's a fast life, out there, living on the road 24/7. If you're driving from one place to the other, you do 15, 16 hours driving straight, before you stop in for a couple of days and then gone again.
What was you doing out there?
We was doing metal out there. Yeah, scrap metal and that. But, I mean, it was decent. We was getting a few quid. Nothing to talk about, but I was living, And then my wife fell pregnant out there. We went through a bit of complications. Obviously, I thought we lost the child. We come home and then obviously got all the testing done and stuff like that. And obviously she was all right, so we stayed up. We stayed back in England. She oversaw the pregnancy. My little girl was born. So yeah,
make it, mate.
It was lucky, man.
Yeah,
it was lucky.
Good. But obviously, being on the road that amount of time would have took its toll on the relationship. I would have thought.
I think it made us stronger. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I first got married, mate, I had about 50 quid in my pocket, and that's the truth. You know?
You didn't marry for the money then?
No, definitely not, mate. Definitely not, do you know what I mean? I think I had about...
It's more so the looks, yeah?
Yeah. My van was worth about 500 quid. Yeah, and I had about 50 quid in my pocket. But yeah, man, like I've said, we got married, moved abroad, and I was just, you know, my new objective was just to, like, get money.
Yeah.
Like, I was starting my family, I was young, like, you know, I want to provide for them.
Mm. Was it such a tendency to, with the boxing, you know you can earn the money's there, but it's going to be a long road.
Oh, it's a long road, mate, yeah.
But then was there a tendency to go back and earn that quick money? Or, because you've just alluded to there,
yeah,
it was quick money but nothing to talk about, no, but then you know boxing's tough, it's hard, yeah, but the longevity of that career is, it's going to pay dividends in the long run, and you're going to provide a future for your family. Was there a tendency to just go and earn that quick money?
There is, man. Like, say, when I come back from abroad, I've always been a duck hunt diver. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then, like, the last few years, like, I was earning nasty money, like, saving a few quid, like, brand new cars, you know, but it was that sort of lifestyle, like, I didn't want to be involved in. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, live fast. And
talk to me about the mental health side of things around when you're living fast, because I've been in that frame of mind before where everything's going around, you're like, fucking, I've got all this money, and then yeah, everything is just chaos in your head. You chaos. Can't cope. It's just
can't
like,
sleep.
It's like a washing machine.
Yeah.
And your head's just frazzled. But
you're earning money and you want more money.
Yeah. You just feel
it's
empty.
It's not enough.
You can get all the money in the world.
No,
you
gratification.
Feel empty inside. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no gratification from it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. And like, you're not sleeping at night. You can't drive down the road without checking every mirror. Like,
mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Living on your nerves. Like, is it worth it?
Mm. What did you go through at that time?
Like, so, I was always in and out of high performance cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a C63. Thought I was a bad boy, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I bought a car I couldn't really afford to impress people that I don't really like. Like, that's the truth of it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah, but I was just a bit of like a fuck you, like, yeah, look at me now, you know what I'm saying? Because I was always a kid that I've never had nothing in my life, you know? Mm. I used to wear hand-me-down clothes and trainers with holes in them for PE, like, that was me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, obviously, I got older, started getting a few quid, and I was sort of, yeah, it was a bit of a middle finger to everyone, like, yeah, all right, sweet, like, everyone dad me, you always said I'd never have an ink. You're like, now I'm driving a car that you would save your whole entire life to try and buy. So anyway, yeah, got the car, cruising about. I was coming down the motorway on the way home one night. It's a bit mad because I sold the car. I only had it for a little while. But I was on the phone anyway. I sold the car over the phone with my dad. He said to me, son, do me a favour. He said, please just take your time going home. He said, because do you know how many people I know who sold a car today and smashed it up? Right? And I remember, like, he said that to me, yeah? And I was just disregarded off. Fuck off, Dad, do you know what I mean? You're going on, mate. Jumped in the car, driving home on the motorway. I was driving on, like, all my cars, normally I'd get, like, a video of me spinning them, do you know what I mean? Just for memories, yeah, or whatever. But I'd never done this with this car, so I thought, like, oh, I'll just get a quick video of giving it a blast, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, dropped it down. Hit a puddle on the motorway, aquaplaned, lost the back end of the car, head on into the railings, no seatbelt. I remember waking up in the footwell of the car, all the smoke and airbags gone off, like I was upside down, thinking, what happened there, mate? Like, managed to climb out of the car. I sank in the car as well, so I had to jump out, grab it, like run, throw it into the bushes, thinking, oh, fuck, mate, like, gals are definitely on their way now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, there's bits of car left all over the motorway. End up run to the other shoulder, laid down, and ended up like falling asleep on the other shoulder. Yeah, which is a mad story, right? Because my little sister was driving on the road on the other side of the motorway. She was coming back from Brighton with her friends, and she see the crash. She rang my mum. Said like, oh, so I've just seen a fucking mad crash on the motorway, mum. Like, I really feel like I need to turn around. Do you know what I mean? And just, my mum said, no, just get home, just get home. Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it was me.
Fucking hell.
It was me, man. But I think I hit the barrier and spun the car about 6, 7, 8 times.
What injury did you suffer?
I broke my back in 2 places. I didn't know it at the time, but yeah, I broke my back. I remember just running to the other shoulder. I couldn't breathe. Like, the wind was took out of me. Laid down and then, like, passed the bike, pulled up. Obviously, on the phone to the ambulance and stuff. I was more panicking about getting the car back. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I had all this money laid out in this car. I was thinking, like, bro, for one, if they come to me now and say to me, if they say the impound in my car, yeah, and then they want me to prove them, well, I've got the money to pay for this car. Like, I'm fucked. So I'm sitting on the other shoulder thinking, like, I need to get this car back. I need to get this car back. I'm ringing, trying to ring the recovery people to come get it. Mm-hmm. And I remember the police officer in charge was like, we're recovering this car back. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the side of the road arguing with him. I mean, obviously my old man turned up by this point, you know what I'm saying? He said, you're not taking this car anyway. We was like murdered on the side of the road. Managed to find a man that would come and take the car back for us. Managed to get on the back of a recovery lorry, get it back home. I remember getting out of the recovery lorry, walking into the, obviously into my plot, like the car was crumpled at the front and smashed. And just remember getting sick. Like, I think it was the relief of, you know, like the
adrenaline, yeah.
The adrenaline, the getting the car back, like the everything. So when I got out of the car, sat down, got sick, passed out. My dad threw me into his car, rushed me to the nearest hospital. Obviously, neck brace, hospital. They transferred me to Brighton Hospital when they obviously realised I broke my back. Mm-hmm. I was in there for a couple of days and yeah, they let me out.
And you was boxing before that as well?
I was boxing before that, yeah, as a kid though. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trained at this point.
But the thing is as well, like, you're boxing now. What people don't realise is, or they do now, or I don't realise about you before that you've just said that, is you broke your back and now you're still boxing. You're a professional fighter. So, yeah, this is why it's amazing to hear your story. You spun a car at 130 miles an hour, broke your back, and now you're still a pro. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? This is why it's a huge, huge achievement for you, even more so. But, I mean, what was your recovery like?
Recovery, like, so, like, after the crash, yeah, like, I mean, I'd had enough of the life that I was living anyway. Do you know what I'm saying? I was struggling badly, like, mentally. Mm. Like, say, living on your nerves 24/7, like, it's not a good place to be. Do you know what I'm saying? And I want to do something that my family can be proud of me for doing. Not go to prison for being a scumbag and let my kids see their dad, you know, like, come and visit me on VOs on a weekend. Like, do you know what I'm saying? I want to do something with my life. I've been given a talent, I think. Yeah, and, like, given a second chance at life. Like, I should have died in that car. Yeah, and someone had their arms wrapped around me that night. And I feel like I've been given a second chance to, like, yeah, then. Like, there's your little wake-up call. Yeah, like, now crack on and do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Rather than fucking wasting your life. Like, I mean, you can always earn money. I mean, if I want to give up boxing tomorrow and go back to whatever I was doing, I can go and earn money tomorrow. Do you know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to make a legacy for my kids and for my family. Yeah, for someone that they can be proud of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, in generations to come, they might be able to look, like, Google their old great granddad. Yeah, that was your great granddad. Look, that's why we're living in the mansion today.
Yeah,
because of that man. Look what he done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Definitely, man. But again, like everything, there's going to be struggles on the way through. And I think that the boxing is an amazing achievement. But the most important thing for people to realise is the struggles that you've had to encounter and the process that you've encountered on the way through.
Yeah, man. So
I know your best friend. And I know that you've been through a huge amount of shit on the way through. On your boxing journey.
Yeah.
One particular instance is when you were stuck in a hotel room. Take me back to that.
Yeah, man. So, like, obviously, after the crash, I went a bit loopy, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's I don't want to put it in that way, but like, I was struggling bad, yeah, mentally. Obviously, huge financial loss out of the car.
Mm.
Like, you know, 20 stone. Like,
you was 20 stone?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I was 20 stone, like, overweight, fucking just a mess. Like, yeah, I wasn't doing too good mentally, you know? And
how did you recover from that part? Because from what I'm trying to get out of this, yeah, is people that are listening, that they can't, or they may be stuck, they're in a similar position to you, maybe not have crashed the car, but they're looking to get into boxing, they're looking, yeah, to get into some kind of sport, they're stuck, yeah, in a job, whatever the situation may be, they're in a relationship they don't want to be in, they're just stuck. But you've got this drive, the ambition to just go, switched, I've got to change my life.
Yeah, I switched on his head. I mean, I was smoking 20 fags a day, like 20 stone,
yeah,
yeah, out of shape. I didn't run 100 metres in about 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after I crashed the car and that, yeah, I was going through a bad patch, man. I was suicidal, like, and I was in a hotel room in Dartford, like, by myself. I just fucked, mate. And then that ringing John. John come down to the hotel, see me there. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I chatted to him. Mm. Yeah, man, I wasn't in a good place. But I knew that I needed help.
Mm.
So I got sorted out, and I went to a lot of hospital. My little sister came to the hospital with me. I sat there for like 14 hours in an accident emergency to speak to somebody, you know. And when I did speak to them, and like, just thinking like, bruv, why have I even come here to speak to you? Because you're not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you ask me questions, I'm answering them, but you're making me feel like a little bitch, like, sitting here, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fucked, I think. Like, I know I've got shit going on, yeah, but like, you're making me feel like I'm in, like,
right,
small, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're not helping me out. Like, and that's when I decided, like, I just said, oh, fuck this, like, I need to go running, like, I need to go gym, I need to sort my life out. Yeah, I'm upset, I'm down, I'm fat, I'm fucking stressed, I've got all this going on. Like, I saved a few quid, yeah, up in the time I was doing what I was doing, and I thought, like, right, I'm going to use my money that I've saved, yeah, to just concentrate and get myself back into the gym, get myself back fit, yeah, dedicate myself to my boxing,
mm,
and be a full-on professional athlete, you know what I'm saying? Because, mm, you can't, if you want to do this and you want to go somewhere, like, you can't be part-time.
Mm.
You ain't got time to be working part-time jobs, yeah, and going to the gym, missing the gym one night because you can't get back from work to train, you know? So, like, for a year, I just trained. I was getting my professional license. I applied for it. You know, I was 20 stone. My little sister, man, she's been with me through so much, like, what went on. Like, she plays professional football for Charlton, yeah?
Mm.
So, like, I remember moving back to my mum's after, like, I went to the hospital and all that, and I was down, man, out. Like, she come with me running, like, she's bringing me running down the road. I fucking was pulling up, getting sick in the bins. She was like, come on, we're going again. Like, we're going again, yeah? And I was like, bro, I can't do this. Yeah. I'm smoking 20 fags a day at the time as well. Thinking like, mate, what is, like, are you nuts? Like, you're never going to fight again, mate. You know what I mean? And people did think that. They was like, man, like, these kids never going to fight again. Like, he might never even be okay again. Like,
mm,
yeah. Like, the chance of even fighting again, it's never going to happen.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, but it gave me a bit more drive as well.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I thought, well, like, you doubted me once before, mate. Doubt me again, yeah? Because I'm going to show you what I can do. Stop smoking. Knocked on the head. Running every day. Start losing weight. I mean, my dad was coming with me to the gym. Like, he had the keys for the gym. Yeah. And, like, some nights I'd struggle bad. And I'd ring my dad at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, Dad, I need to go to the gym, mate. He said, come then, come get me. I mean, we'd be in the gym smashing the punch bag at 3 o'clock in the morning, crying our eyes out in the punch bag. Like, yeah, man.
I know what you mean. But there'd be people that go, I'm not quite there yet. But I know for a fact that there's people listening that are on the edge. And it'd be hard for some people to resonate with that. But until you get to that point And if you are, if anyone is listening, you are at that point, do seek help, like I have. If you've listened to previous podcasts, I was sectioned as well. I'm not saying that you've been sectioned, but you seek the help that you needed. Everyone's help will be different.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show the power of your network, yeah? So your family.
Yeah.
So like my family recognise that, like, fuck, you know, Lewis, you're doing some crazy stuff. What's going on with you?
Yeah.
It's like, you need the help. Bang. So it wasn't for the safety of others. It was for my own safety. I was, like yourself, just like chaos going around and doing random shit.
Mm.
And it would have been a danger to others eventually if I didn't get that right help.
Yeah.
And I started running. But I wouldn't have been able to if I didn't seek the help first. It's the importance of the network that you surround yourself with. And this is a big thing for me is no one... I've been to every single therapy session there is. I'm not saying therapy's bad. I actually think it's good.
It's, yeah.
But you have to take full responsibility for where you currently are.
Yeah.
So whatever's happened to you, take responsibility for it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to move forward. It doesn't matter if it's your fault or not. As soon as you own it, that's how you then move forward. Like what you've done. Right, okay, I'm 20 stone. I'm still going to apply for my license.
Yeah.
And then you can then move forward from it. You started running. You lost the weight. Now look at where you are.
Good. Like, no, boxing was always my dream, yeah? And when I got married, like, I, in the back of my head, I used to think, like, I'm going to get enough money one day and I'm going to get back to it.
Mm.
And I wanted cash fast. I want money, yeah? I want enough money so that I'm sorted. I can box again, yeah? And, like, but money, like, money don't make you happy, yeah? And if you're chasing money and you're chasing numbers, the numbers are, like, not, they're limitless, aren't they? They go to infinity. If you need money to be happy, yeah, then you're never going to be happy.
Mm.
I don't think, anyway, because I have money, like, do you know what I mean? And it didn't make me happy one bit, mate. Yeah. No. It just made me more stressed because I wanted more money. Yeah. And like I wasn't doing stuff that made me happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if I was broke, mate. If I could get to the gym and train, I'd feel like a winner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's just one time that I was with now ex-wife. And we was in this one room, and I've got a picture of it, and I can upload it to the YouTube. We was in one room. It's down an absolute shithole in Southend. It's called York Road. But we were together as a family.
Yeah.
But then this materialistic, again, money came into the equation, and it was just like money, 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 and that was it, just gone.
Mm.
Lost all sense of what actually mattered, which was this family unit. And then, like you say, when the money comes into it, it's like that becomes the problem, if you like. You forget the reason why you started. You lose yourself, it becomes chaotic. But take me back to, when you went to Portugal, because you've recently been, haven't you? Train with Dylan White?
Yeah, man. So that was after I boxed at the last black box event. I got an opportunity to fly out to Portugal. Initially, it wasn't to go and train with Dillian. Like, we were just going to go out there and have a week in the sun, bit of training. But I chatted to Dean, like Dean White, while I was on my way over there, and he said, oh, go train with Dillian, man, like at his gym. So we went over there, obviously we got a little apartment. My nutritionist come out, Jack, John Cam. My old man and Joel McIntyre. He's English champion. Well, he was. I think he's just lost his title. But yeah, John McIntyre, we was all out there. Obviously, we got the accommodation in the hotel rooms, the apartments, like 5 minutes from the beach, up every morning, running. Jack was cooking all the food. Do you know what I mean? It was nice just to be away from, like, England, the weather, and, I mean, completely different out there. So, yeah, it was nice, man. We went out there. Met Dillian first day we went out there. There's two gyms. It's called Champions Fitness Centre and Champions Training Camp. He's got two gyms there in Vila Moura, that's it, in Portugal. So, yeah, we was using his gym and that. He's a lovely geezer, mate. You know, give me a few tips. I was in the bag. He's standing there, give me a few pointers. And it was nice just to be around that sort of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you going to go back out there? Or?
I'd love to, mate. Yeah, I'd love to. But it's like funded at the moment. you know.
Yeah.
Like, to be brutally honest, you know, like, if I could go out, I could go out there and do an 8-week camp. Like, I'd love nothing more than to be able to get out there because you can really get down to work.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's got every the best of everything, like best swimming pools, best weights equipment, best gym equipment, like.
So talk to me about where you're currently at now in your career.
In my career, so I'm 4-0, two knockouts.
Yeah.
I ranked 26 in England now, the last time I checked on BoxRec.
Okay.
Yeah, so like from in four fights, I've gone from like ranked 100 in Great Britain to 26, which ain't too bad.
It needs to be updated on your website, it says 33.
Does it, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll get the geezer to sort that out.
Yeah, so 26 ranked in the UK. So who's on the horizon? No one wants to step in a ring with you, mate, that's why.
Do you know what? Yeah, like, yeah, it's hard to get an opponent at the moment, you know? We offered it to 47 different fighters. My management team sort like approached all them different people and they all come back with the same answer. Like, nah, it's too risky of a fight. I mean? So they didn't really help, I suppose, after my last performance either, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, I almost knocked the geezer out about five or six times in the sixth round, so
yeah.
People are just looking at that and thinking, like, do we need that fight? Do you know what I mean? Like, I ain't got a belt or anything at the moment. It's a big risk for somebody to chuck their to risk their unbeaten record fighting someone like me.
How do you get to that next level? How do you get to the big, big fights?
Like, professional boxing in this country is a bit mad, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because people will go, like, 10-0, fighting mugs, like journeyman, stepping for a title, getting knocked out, back to square one. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the good boys in this country need to box the good boys in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you're good and I'm good, then let's fight and we see who's better. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the only way you're going to progress. Yeah, I want to fight people who have got unbeaten records. I want to fight winning records. You know what I mean? Yeah, any belts that are available, chuck me in for them. Yeah, but the only way you get to that point is by knocking out all these mugs on the way through. Yeah, and then when you finally reach a certain level of, like, then they'll say, all right, okay, well, you've had 10-0 now. Yeah, this big promoter might be interested in you. That big promoter might be interested in you. But they want the unbeaten 10-0 record before they're even thinking about bringing you on board and, you know what I mean, trying to sell you.
Right, okay.
So, like, at the moment, it's just building a record, you know.
So you've got to get at least 10.
But I want better opponents, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at, like, ranked opponents in Europe. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at progressing on, you know, boxing, like, top 100 in Europe. Mm. Yeah, if I can jump in one of them boys and smash them up, like, it'll catapult me. I mean, I'm going to bypass all these boys that are sitting down at these levels, like, you know what I'm saying?
So how do we get you into Europe, mate? That's the next thing.
Yeah, like, it's just money, mate. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
like you need, like, the way I'm coming through the professional rankings, yeah, like, on a small circuit, it's not the same as a big promotional contract, big promotional show. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
so it'd be like sponsorship.
Say if I was signed to a big promoter, yeah, I'd have a guaranteed fight purse. Yeah, so they say to me, right, okay, Ernie. So for example, we'll give you X amount for a boxing a six rounder, yeah? Mm. Plus we'll give you a certain percentage of ticket sales. Plus you get sponsorships because you're on TV, yeah? So you're a lot better off, yeah? But the way I'm going around it, like, obviously, whatever I sell, yeah, in ticket money, I've got no guaranteed fight purse. If I sell 50 quid off of tickets, it's going to cost me about $3,000 to box. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's bottom line, yeah? It costs me money to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even I'm a good ticket seller. I can sell a lot of tickets. Yeah, and it still costs me money to box. Yeah, the opponents are coming out thousands. Like, you got to pay promoters, you got to pay house fees, you got to pay managers, you got to pay trainers, you got to pay nutritionists, you got to pay videographers. Yeah, like, that's all hidden costs no one sees. You know what I'm saying? They look at you in the ring and think, oh, he's having it off, mate. Yeah, they see the sparkly shorts, they see, I mean, knocking fellas about, they think, yeah, mate, he's having it off. They don't realise it's cost me $3,000 to fight on that show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the reality. It's just working your way through, mate, and just trying to, you know.
I think it's important for everyone to hear that. That's looking to get started in boxing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you take it seriously.
I'll take it seriously, mate. Yeah.
And you're doing.
It's a full time job for me.
How quick have you done the full fights as well? Because you're doing them like literally.
Yeah.
Back to back.
I've been a professional. I've had my license just over a year. I think it's a year and a month, and I've had four.
That's 12 grand you spent.
More.
Based on the three grand that you just said.
If you take into account, like, you know, I had two fights cancelled last year. Obviously, I broke my wrist. I was a week out. And this is right on top of Christmas, yeah? So I've trained all the way through Christmas, right, all the way up to Christmas. I think the fight was about two or three weeks before Christmas, basically. So I sold all my tickets, right, on the pads week before I'd meant to box. Bang, broke my wrist, right? I had to pull out of the fight. So I had 15 grand of ticket money in the bag, right? And like, I was a week away from Christmas. I was relying on my fight purse to cover my Christmas, you know what I'm saying? I thought I needed to fight, yeah? Because I'd done my shoulder before that in another training camp. So I spent all this money training, yeah, getting to the gym, paying nutritionists, all sorts of stuff, yeah. Fight kits, like, paid my way all the way through this, and then right at the last minute, bang, broke my wrist. Now I've got to drive around giving my money back. Yeah, so it was a complete total loss for me, like, right on top of Christmas. You know what I mean? But it's one of them things, like, you just got to keep it moving in you, keep rolling with the punches.
And that's the side that people don't see.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we ain't, like, I haven't got any funding. I haven't got anyone backing me, you know. Like, obviously, I've got a couple of sponsors. My best friend John helps me out, like, unbelievable, mate. Yeah. Like, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have even made it to my last fight. You know? I'd have been standing in the ring in a pair of boxer shorts, and that's the truth. Yeah, because I couldn't even.
You'd have distracted him.
Honestly, mate, I would have been standing in a pair of Calvin Kleins, like, ready to box. Do you know what I'm saying?
But again, mate, like I say, it's very important for people to hear that, because there's not a lot of people that have been as honest as yourself throughout this whole interview. And for anyone that's looking to start boxing, young or old, what advice would you give them? If they're looking to take this seriously.
I say, if you're looking to take this seriously, then you want to get an Olympic gold medal and be signed over with a proper promotional contract and get, because this small boxing, mate, yeah, it's hard work. You know, and unless you've got people that are willing to put money into you, yeah, to help bring you along, like, you're going to be out a lot of money in the long run. And that's the truth.
How much money do you need per year to get to the top?
Oh, mate, it cost me nearly £1,000 a week. Yeah, that's to train and to keep my family fed and diesel to the gym. Like, that's without any extra costs. Do you know what I'm saying? That's without my kidneys, clothes, or... Yeah, I need gym equipment, or like, that's just living.
Basic standard living. 52 grand a year.
Yeah.
And that's just covering costs, really.
That's just covering costs, mate.
So it puts it into perspective that you're not living a high life.
No,
you're covering costs.
I'm scraping by, do you know what I'm saying? Like, my last fight camp, I nearly cancelled the fight. Like, I rang my manager a couple of weeks out. I said, listen, mate, like, I'm fucked here. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Like, I had a few quid saved, I did. I spent every penny, like, chasing my dream. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm going to have to cancel this fight because I can't afford to get to the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, he pulled a couple of things out of the bag and managed to get me to the gym to train, so.
Have you been received by the other boxers so far? Obviously, not the ones you knocked out, but.
Like, everyone I meet, like, this is... was named by respect, like, between the mutual respect, you know what I'm saying?
And as well the fans, because when I've seen you on YouTube, you've got a massive following. A huge following, mate.
Yeah.
Like, a huge following.
Like, growing up, like, I've got a lot of friends, do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of acquaintances, people I've met through people, like, I try and treat everyone how you expect to be treated, you know what I mean? Some people are probably don't know me, they've heard of me. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Yeah, like, they don't actually know me. You know, like, yeah, when I was younger, I probably had a bit of a reputation. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's a pub in South London that I ain't had a scrap in. Do Do you know what I'm saying? Like every car park in the south, I probably would imagine. Like, but like I was an angry young kid. Like when I stopped boxing, yeah, like I was just walking around like a loaded gun, mate. Like with no direction, just thinking like, fuck the boxing. Yeah, like I need money. Yeah, end up scrapping, getting nicked a few times.
Do you sometimes feel like that now when you've like had a fight, for example, and then you've had your fight, you've built yourself up, and then you, what do you do next? It's like, do you sometimes feel lost?
Yeah, it's like a deflate. It's like a deflating moment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. After a fight, because you've got all this build up, you've got all this adrenaline. Like you've, just, I lay in bed, man. Like, but coming up to a fight, I might lay there sometimes till 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, and I'm slipping punches, like trying to go to sleep. Mm. Yeah, trying to like visualize the fight. Yeah, you got all the stress of the tickets. You got the stress of trying to meet people, training. Yeah, trying to recover, make sure you're eating right. All this build up all the way through to the fight. Yeah, you get the weigh in. You have the fight. Bang! It's, everything's going off. You got people screaming. You got video cameras pushing your face. Yeah, like it's all going off. And then the next day after the fight, it's just like dead silent. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like it's been and gone. And then. Like that's hard to deal with. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the come down after a fight. Yeah? Because for all that time you've had all that going on and then it's just like there's nank and now you're waiting for your next fight date and you don't know what's going on. You're sort of left in limbo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've been following a strict diet nutrition plan, right? After the fight, all of a sudden you can eat pizza. Yeah, so your diet goes out the window, you start eating shit, you start feeling like shit. Yeah, like all that. I mean, it's hard. It's, it is hard to deal with.
How do you stay on track?
Like, just go running. Like, I know. Like, when I'm starting to slip a bit, if I ain't got a focus, like, if I haven't got a fight to focus on, yeah, like I pick fights with myself. Yeah, so like, I need to be fighting. I need to have an opponent. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Because if I ain't got someone to focus on, I'm the target.
Mm-hmm.
So I say after a fight, I'll go running. Like I'll get my shit together and I'm out and I'm running and I'm just, yeah, when's the next date? You know what I'm saying? Contact my manager. When are we getting out?
So it was like almost an internal battle against yourself. Otherwise you're going to be getting in your head again and then it'll be again chaotic. Very much can relate to that and I'm sure other people can as well. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration in the boxing world?
My dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. My dad. You know, like he's been there for me through everything, mate. Like he lives and breathes with me, do you know what I'm saying? If I'm going through trouble, he's going through trouble. Yeah, and we've always been like that.
Mm.
Like since I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? You know, we're trying to lift each other up, trying to help each other best I can.
What about professional boxer? Is there one you look up to?
Professional boxer. Like there's been the greats, man. Like, I'd love like Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. They're like my idols, yeah. But like in recent times, like Tyson Fury, Billy Joe Saunders, only because they've done so much for the community. Mm. Obviously, Tyson coming back from where he came back from,
yeah.
Like that was mega. Do you know what I'm saying? And like I took some inspiration from that as well because I see I see the shape that man was in. Do you know what I'm saying? When he decided that he. Man, he was just like driving Ferraris into bridges and like just gone. Like, I looked at him and I was in bad shape, but he was like a house, mate. You know what I'm saying? I thought this man's never gonna come back from this. And he picked himself up like and got off the floor and become a world champion again.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And if Tyson Fury, like when Tyson Fury had his first few fights on Channel 5, like, I was watching him thinking, who is this like? No disrespect to Tyson, like, if you ever watch this. Yeah. I was thinking, who is this idiot? Like, he's never gone anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? But it shows you, from the hard work and the dedication that a man put in, yeah, over the years, like, to get where he is now, he's the best heavyweight in the world. Yeah?
I agree.
And, like, it's going to take a serious, serious man to dethrone him. If he can achieve that, from where he started in the first place and after all that battle he's gone through with mental health and weight loss, all that, if he can do that with his life, like, what's stopping me doing it? You know?
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And anyone can do it. Like, if he can do it, mate, anyone can do it. So anyone watching, like, you know, you can do it, mate.
Perfect, mate. What would you say is the best piece of advice you remember receiving?
What, when I was going through, like, what I was going through, or just
ever,
in life?
Ever, mate. Yeah, ever.
Right. My best piece of advice. A bit stumped there, really.
Anything you remember receiving, mate. It could be from your dad, it could be from another boxer. Anything you remember receiving.
Just keep your chin down. Keep swinging.
Oh, quality. And what about what's going to make you feel accomplished in life?
For me to feel accomplished in life? Yeah. I'd like to be able to earn a proper living out of doing what I love. And, like I say, create a legacy for my family. I mean, I'm the first boxer in my family to turn professional. As a boxer, obviously my little sister, mate, like, she's fucking absolutely amazing. You know, she's played football for Charlton. She was the youngest female to be signed professional in England. She's played for England. She was at the Millwall Lionesses, Bristol City. She's been everywhere, Leicester. You know, so she really inspired me as well, like, to get back and get back fit. So I've gone a bit off track there.
No, mate. So we'll talk about your sister. Yeah. Tell me more about your sister.
Yeah, she's out with at the moment with an injury. She's done her ACL. You know, she was in a game a little while back. Come in, bang, took her out. Girl from the side, obviously done her ACL ligament. She had really good reconstruction. She's out for 9 months, but she's got a long battle now coming back. You know what I mean?
But with the support network that's around.
Of course. I mean, I'll try and help her out as much as I can.
Mate, I think you've given everyone an insight into who you are, who you truly are, and that's the idea for this podcast.
Yeah.
And to listen to where you've come from, to where you currently are now, it's certainly an inspiration to me. There's always one last question I ask on the podcast is, how are you doing?
How am I doing? Yeah, man, I'm getting by. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a struggle. Like, it's hard, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, if I weren't up for it, like, I wouldn't be there, so.
Thank you, mate. Really appreciate that. Guys, if you've got any questions, obviously drop them in the comments below. Ernie's going to answer them, I can answer them, but if Ernie can do it, and I can do it, and like he said, if Tyson can do it, then you can certainly do it. Listen to his story from where he's come from to where he is now. It's such an inspiration, one of the most inspirational stories that I've ever heard. Any closing words, mate?
Just don't give up on your dreams.
Wicked, mate. Appreciate it. That was excellent. Mate, appreciate that.
Love you, mate. Wicked. Thank you.